Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Draw our strength from,
and it's in that communication. And when you communicate with the Lord, only God can give you that kind of peace, especially when you're faced with something.
Yeah.
And if you're just there by yourself, you know, sometimes we could be in a room full of people and be lonely.
Amen.
But if you have that prayer, you have that prayer, you can kind of steal away, even in the midst of being in the middle room by yourself and being lonely, to communicate with God and ask him to help you, and his spirit can bring peace to you. And that, and Christ knew that, and he showed that as an example mm-hmm. of how we can go to the Father to get our strength from.
Right. And I always, Dr. G, I was always amazed at the Old Testament scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, where writer writes, "If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray,
they pray
my faith from their wicked ways," he said, "then he would hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land." And even in that Old Testament way, how God responds to prayer.
Hello?
I'm here with Dr. You all break up.
Okay. But what we were saying was that how God responds to our humble prayer, and
mm-hmm.
how when we're humble in prayer, how it would cause us to turn to God and seek him for our guidance.
Well, you know, it's when we become humble enough that we realize that we can't do it by ourselves. We need that supernatural help. I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but I do. I can't deal with all of life's troubles and situations that come up without some supernatural help. And when we stop and pray, the only way that we can do that is to humble ourselves.
Christ, when he was in the flesh, he would humble himself and turn to his Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And I'm just curious to see why, as the church, or we call ourselves, you know, the body of Christ, hasn't taken prayer more serious, C.O.G.
Oh, that is so true. And I believe that it's because people don't understand the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We as humans believe in things that we touch, see, and feel. Prayer and Lord operating through prayer truly is supernatural.
Yeah.
And it's a trust and a faith thing to believe that I'm going through and I talk to someone I don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And just put it on him and truly humble myself, move me out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm in the way, then God can't communicate with me.
Man.
That's why he says, humble yourself. Move myself out of the way, and just God and I communicate, and he will lead me, guide me, and direct me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people just don't understand the true power of prayer.
Okay. I want to pick up on one of those things, and I think, like you said, it's a supernatural thing. Whereas I can talk to you and you can hear me in an audible voice.
Right.
People, I think, because they can't hear God all the time in an audio voice,
right,
that they are not inclined,
yeah,
to stay in prayer,
right,
or to use it as something that is beneficial to them.
Right, because they're one-dimensional of I can communicate and I can understand and I'm going through, so I need to talk to someone that they can talk back to me.
Right.
Not
mm-hmm.
realizing that when they go into prayer and they move themselves, God is speaking.
Yeah.
And he will let you know that, okay, I know that the flesh in you won't go left, but this is where I want you to
right.
go. Or your spirit will say, sit still. Stand
right.
still and know that I'm God. Whereas you talk to me. He's not necessarily talking to you in a one-dimensional way.
Right.
He's talking to us another way, where you have to truly listen by your spirit. And by listening by your spirit, that's when you let the Holy Spirit operate in your life. Once you trust him once, then that prayer just comes automatic. it becomes, okay, I'm getting ready to go down the street, and Lord, just lead me and guide me. I know where I'm going, but I don't know what I'm going to run into.
Right.
So clear the path for me.
And you and Dr. Gia said this thing, and I think this is the key, is to realize that prayer is a natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not in our
boxes. Mm-hmm.
We've been given five senses of see, we can smell, mm-hmm. we can taste, hear, we can feel.
Right.
Not to say that prayer is none of those things. But natural, you and Dr. G have talked about that we have to share with the body of Christ to say prayer is a supernatural thing.
Mm-hmm.
That involves, yes, us in the natural, but also involves us in the supernatural. And what I mean by that in the supernatural is that we have to get to a point where we are understanding that the Spirit of God that God has placed in us will give us things to say. And so when we are talking to God, it's not just us talking in a natural, but it's the Spirit of God that's in us that's talking. And so that's what we have to learn as the body of Christ, is that we're not just something that's natural, but it's supernatural. And like you said, Sheila G., the more and more that we do it, we'll become more inclined to pray, because there truly is power in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Once you do it, and once you take that faith and believe that if I pray to God, he may not communicate to me in the natural way, but he will lead God my spirit, then
go.
That's what I was saying. It will become more of a an automatic response, an automatic communication, just as much as picking up the telephone to call your girlfriend.
Right, right.
To say, this just happened. When something happens to you and you have that strong prayer life, when it happens, that's when you're like, Lord, help me.
Right, exactly. And when we begin to understand that, what happens is the spirit on the inside, and I tell people, just take this example, that if you close your mouth and count to 10 in your inner conscience or your inner voice, that you can hear yourself counting to 10 without
Amen.
Saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody sees you count to 10. You can count to 10 and you can actually hear yourself counting. And that's how I try to get, well, how do we hear God and let you know you should do this, you should do that, or you should do this, or you should do that, or this is what I want you to do. So then, in prayer, you need to start hearing clearly, not your voice, but the voice of the Spirit, telling you what to do, Dr. G.
Amen. But, you know, the key, again, and we got to go back to that word, relationship. Because if you don't have a personal one-on-one relationship with him, you'll never know what God is saying to you. I mean, when you go back and you read and you study the Bible teaches that God spoke in many different ways to the saints of God. And what we as will have to understand is that once you have that one-on-one relationship,
oh,
God
really?
Will speak. Huh? Can you hear me? Sheila?
Pastor G.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I think you need to take your speaker.
How about now? Is that any better?
Yeah, we're good then. Yeah, we're good.
Better.
We're good.
Yeah, so like I was saying,
you
know, you've got to have a one-on-one relationship with him in order to hear him. Because if you are just hitting and missing, that's what you're going to be doing when it comes to prayer. You're going to be hitting and missing because you're not hearing. You know, the Spirit can't talk to you when you don't have that one-on-one with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And so this is, again, this is the example that Jesus used in his earthly walk here, is that he had a constant one-on-one with his Heavenly Father, communion with the Holy Spirit. And when you can have that, what happens is it helps you. I don't know about anybody else, but I need some help in the flesh.
Amen.
Helping the flesh, helping the spirit.
Amen.
And when you understand that, that's when you begin to start having more victories over the attack of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because he knows that we're in the flesh.
Right.
Just like he came at Jesus after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
He came at him strong.
Yeah.
And told him, if you be the Son of Man.
Mm.
It's like he's questioning you, trying to get you to start questioning yourself. And,
right.
and that's one of the things that the enemy does, is he'll get us to try to question our salvation, question our relationship, question is God real, question
mm-hmm.
is God care, and get you to thinking in the flesh instead of the spirit. But when Jesus turned to the word of God, he said, it is written, you know, and that's what we have to do in our prayer life, Sheila
right.
G, is we have to incorporate the will of God and the word of God in our prayer life, and then we're not praying amiss.
Right.
And when you're praying according to the will and to the word of God, and then that's when the spirit man becomes active and alive and overcomes the flesh. So what happens is the spirit overpowers the flesh.
Right.
So the flesh has to behave and walk in the spirit. But if we're praying outside of the will of God, if we're not praying the word of God, we're praying what thus said me instead of what thus said the Lord.
Right, and that's how the enemy is able to get in, because we are yielding to our flesh, which is interesting because a lot of times what the temptation is not tangible either, but
right.
we'll yield to that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll you know, it's not something that's right there, so I'm not saying that you pray to the enemy, but
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it's almost like we yield to that flesh,
right.
and it's not necessarily tangible, but it's something that we feel is going to make us feel good, but it's still a feeling. It's not something that you see, but if we would take that same energy that we use to yield to our
right.
flesh
right.
and turn that energy and yield to the Lord, and that's how you conquer that spirit of doing what's wrong with the spirit of doing what's right. But we'll yield to that spirit of, okay, I know I shouldn't go down here, but I'm
going
down
anyway.
Here. I shouldn't go to that club, but
I'm going
anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the way we would yield to that is how to kind of satisfy the flesh.
Yeah.
We should yield to the spirit and then trust God that if we satisfy our spirit, then we don't need to yield to that temptation
right.
to satisfy our flesh.
Absolutely, and that's what prayer does. The prayer helps us to make the decision
right.
to either follow God or
right.
and not follow the flesh.
Exactly.
And so if we go back to the scripture in Matthew 6 chapter, and we look at verse 10, Matthew 6 verse 10 says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And so this dynamic of in earth as it is in heaven is that when heaven and earth agree. So this is the part where God's will is working in our life, is when what our heart's desire is what the will and the heart's desire of God is. And so when we can line those two up, how it is on earth as it is in heaven, in other words, the ultimate plan for God in my life is what's happening. That's what prayer will help us do, to line up with God. So
yeah.
God has his perfect will and he has a permissive will.
Right.
And too many times we go to permissive will and we go around Robin Hood's barn
Amen.
To get back to God's will.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
But, you
Amen,
know, you know, with that, you know, we forget that, you know, the Bible teaches us that the Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God
Amen.
And his righteousness." And again,
mm-hmm.
everything that, you know, we've talked about, it's a faith walk. But because we are human and, you know, we always use that, and, you know, I'm only human. And we need to stop talking that mess because it gets us in more trouble than anything else. Yes, we are human. But just like you were saying, you know, the Lord wants us to walk through the Spirit. And, you know, we can know what God's will is, but we're too busy doing what we want.
Uh-oh. Ooh. Amen. Amen. And so when we look at this model prayer, he's saying, "Thy will be done, not and he says, "In earth as it is in heaven." In other words, he's
Amen.
Saying,
"Let's line up.
We're here on earth, but God, I'm praying that my life will line up what you want in heaven,
according with your will."
Yeah. The master plan.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And I won't have to keep going around Robin Hood's barn,
right.
and this permissive, let me do this, let me do this, bumping my head.
Right.
But I can go to the Word in the Spirit,
right,
and say, God, I want it to be like it is in heaven.
Right.
And get in line with Him.
Right.
And so this is what Jesus would pray. He would tell His disciples, pray that you would be in God's will.
Right.
Pray that you would line up on earth the way it is in heaven.
And we want to do just the opposite. We want heaven to line it up the way we want it on earth.
Say that again. Say that again.
We want to do just the opposite. We want heaven to line up the way it on earth, the way it is on earth.
Wow. Say it one more time. That was some good clarity
We want just the opposite. We want heaven to line up with what we want here on earth.
Wow. That you said a mouthful right there. In other words, we won't flip verse 10 around. That I want my will to be done, and I want heaven to line up with what I'm doing here on earth.
Right, exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
We can preach a sermon on that. Amen. Because
Amen.
that's a lot of times what we do.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
And we expect God to go along with that mess.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But you know God's not having that.
No.
And you know what? I mean, I'm going to keep this thing real. That's why a lot of people's lives are so miserable, because they can't let go of what they want according to what the Lord wants. And I look at folks sometimes, they come to church, they put on this pretense, and you can tell those that are serious and those that are just as unhappy. You know, I'd rather be in Christ and have the joy of the Lord rather than trying to put on a pretend smile because I'm in church.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Perpetrating the fraud.
Amen. And you know, it just makes me think of the song that you just wrote, Pastor Steve. And one of the things we were saying in the video that talk about God will supply your need if that's exactly what you need,
according to what
is needed.
Right.
Amen.
We were talking about how you create a video of, say, someone that's going after something and then them realizing that, you know what, that's not what you really need.
Right.
And if you go with what God is supplying that need, watch your life be that much better.
Come on now. I know that.
But see, we don't want to wait.
And
right.
Yeah.
We want it now.
Issues.
Yes. Right now.
And look at what Christ did when he had to face the folks that I believe it was on a Palm Sunday where they were talking about Hosanna, Hosanna.
Sure enough.
And then come that Friday,
stabbed him in the back,
crucified. But because he knew how to pray,
all
right.
He
now.
Didn't say y'all going to hell. But he said, Father, forgive them.
Well,
they
know.
But he knew how to pray.
Oh, talking about knowing how to pray, what about eating with the person, his last supper that was going to crucify him?
Yeah, so just go ahead and do it quickly.
Go on, eat.
Just go ahead. Just go ahead and do it.
Because he trusted in the Lord. He knew that he was going to go to higher and higher heights.
Yeah.
So he's like, come on, eat with me. Come on, come on. Because in the end, God is going to win.
Oh, my goodness.
That's because he has that communication and that power.
And if you can understand that in the next verse in Matthew 6, God would give you the ability to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And we talk about this like we're going to do it on our own, but God will give you, in verse 11, says, give us our daily bread. In other words, give us what we need daily.
Mm-hmm.
Or give us the word, or give us enough Jesus every day. And I like that song by what's the girl from Mary Mary? I need a little more Jesus.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
To help me along the way.
Yeah, Erica Campbell.
So this verse is I need a little more Jesus right here. This is verse 11.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Amen.
Give us enough Jesus to be able to live in this life and still act godly.
And not lose our
Amen.
Amen.
I need just a little more Jesus. Amen.
That's right.
To help me along the way.
Help me along the way.
And so God's not asking you to do something, but again, like the song says, he'll give you what is needed. To be able to deal with what's going on in the flesh.
Right.
Know,
and
Amen.
We have to, that's where prayer comes in. Because if you have a communication with God, you know that he's giving you what's needed.
Amen.
So you know what to pray for. But if you're not communicating, you're not praying, you're just going to ask for stuff amiss. Then you're going to get frustrated. You're not going to be able to deal with the day-to-day things because the things are going to come up against you, and you're going to want to battle it with your flesh. And you're going to lose, and you're going to feel worse. But if you have that prayer life, then you get that daily bread. You know that he's giving you what you needed for that day.
Come on, man.
So it doesn't matter what's coming up against you or what addictions you have to deal with or what have you. You know that you can just trust and reach out and hold on to him.
And he will supply all your needs. Give you
everything
that you need. Amen. If it's needed.
If it's needed. That's the powerful point of it.
Amen. And so God was going to give us our daily bread. And then here comes the emphasis in verse 12.
Woo.
And this is where we as the body of Christ, the called out ones, the ones that have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, this is where he said we need to mature to.
Yeah.
And we need all the Jesus and the prayer to help because God is saying this is how it is in heaven. I want to see how you behave. And in verse 12, he says, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. So in other words,
That's why a lot of us don't get a whole bunch of forgiveness.
Because the body of Christ has a tendency to want people to forgive us, but we don't want to forgive someone else, Dr. G.
Walk around with them twos in a minute.
And so what happens is God is saying, this is where we need to grow. We need to grow to the point where we realize that everybody, whether you're saved or not, is going to make a mistake along the way.
That's right.
Amen.
But the thing is not to get so bent out of shape that if somebody makes a mistake or says something or does something,
come on,
that we hold this on them
come
like
on.
we're mightier than thou.
Say it, preacher.
And don't have it in our heart to forgive them. But we have to realize the spiritual dynamic that God says, I know you're going to mess up down the line, but I'm going to allow you to be forgiven the way you're going to forgive brother or sister so-and-so.
That's right. And that's why it's interesting that he says the prayer of, okay, give me what I need first.
Because
I'm going to need that in order to forgive those that have trespassed against me. But I need to forgive them because you're forgiving me. So I'm not perfect either.
Wow.
But we as Christians, we become holier than thou.
Hello.
And we just want to bring stuff up to people or like, okay, we're back together, we've reconciled, things are together, we're good, but then let them make one more mistake. They may have nothing to do with what happened years back, but you bring up your stuff.
And that's why we have to stay in prayer because we are human. And the enemy will play on it. The enemy will come around and say, see, that's why I wouldn't have forgave her.
Exactly.
Because I knew she was going to do that again.
And
all
it
right.
Could be something totally different.
Amen. And see, if I was you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Has anybody ever had that roll around in your mind?
Yeah.
If I was you, I wouldn't have been so-and-so. I would never forgave her. Because all she's going to do is do it again.
Right. And then I'll say, you a fool for forgiving that person. You can forgive someone and not necessarily be nasty to them, but still, you know, become acquaintance and maybe not just disclose all your business.
Right.
But, you know, and again, you be led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And if God is leading you that direction, then you don't need to be putting your hand in it to change up.
Amen. And God wants us as Christians to be able to live on this earth together. There's nothing worse than a church full of Christians that's mad at each other.
Hello.
Amen. Everybody say act like the devil.
And I have to tell you, when you don't forgive people, that puts you in bondage.
Burdens on you.
That puts you too heavy because you're holding on to that stuff. Whereas, so then you're just carrying on this baggage, carrying on this baggage, when it's so much more peaceful to forgive someone, let it go, and move on.
And keep it moving. That's right. And a lot of times they've already moved on.
Yeah.
And you still 5 years later talking about what they did to me.
You.
They did so-and-so to me. I ain't never going to forget because they did so-and-so and it hurt me.
And,
that's bad.
What I tell people. It's like, okay, can you turn around and change it? So you're gonna hold on to that, which means you're going to keep reliving that hurt over and over and over again. Whereas if you let it go, you can move on. So you're not doing anybody any favors by sitting there with a tooth and not trying to forgive somebody. It's a burden to you. The best thing you can do is to forgive someone.
And look at Jesus. He turned it loose. He said, Father, forgive them.
Mm.
For they know not
what
they
do.
When Stephen was getting stoned,
yeah,
he said, don't put it to their charge.
And that's
right. Hold
on.
And let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But the dynamic is that God is looking at us as how are we gonna behave? How are we gonna forgive so and so?
Right.
And based upon how we forgive so and so, it's gonna be the same means of how we get forgiven.
Right.
Amen.
So the same heat that you've given to them, drama to be forgiven,
right,
is the same heat or drama you gonna get to be
mm-hmm.
forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Which should give us the motivation to say, look, I know I'm gonna mess up around along somewhere along the way. I'm gonna need some grace. I'm gonna need you to give me some grace.
So all
I'm
right.
gonna give you some grace.
Come on.
I know somewhere along the line, and if someone says they don't need some grace, I don't know who they think they fooling.
Right.
Come
because
on.
All of us gonna need some grace
yes,
along the way.
Are.
Amen.
Amen. You
yes.
might say something. You might do something.
Yeah, definitely.
Put foot in mouth. Open mouth.
Uh-huh.
Insert foot.
Right.
All of these things, and you are gonna need somewhere, somewhere to say, look, just take your foot out your mouth. I love you. I forgive you. All right.
And I have to tell you, I mean, I'm going to keep it real. It is not always easy to forgive those, especially those that have belligerently hurt you and aren't trying to reconcile.
Ooh, amen.
That is a very difficult thing to do, but that's the most powerful forgiveness that you can do. And
mm-hmm.
and I've, you know, recently I've been in a situation
mm-hmm.
where God was bringing me out. He was leading me out. But it was still something heavy on
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was heavy was I had not completely forgiven those
gotcha.
That had persecuted me.
Gotcha.
And so I literally, in prayer,
mm-hmm.
called out each name and said, I forgive you.
Wow, that is powerful.
In prayer. So it wasn't even like, because I know I was never going to see these people again.
Right.
But because I was still keeping myself in bondage because I had not forgiven what was happening, not realizing that it wasn't going to happen to me, that God's not going to allow. So
Amen.
It's not like the person could have, they weren't that powerful.
Amen.
So, but to release me, to move on, so God could provide me with what I needed and what
yeah.
he wanted for me, I had to forgive. So it is not always an easy thing to do, but it's so much better to go through it and to forgive than to keep holding on.
Man, and it was so powerful, the Emmanuel 9.
Mm-hmm.
When they confronted this guy, Ruth,
yeah.
who killed them in that church,
yeah.
it was
mm-hmm.
so powerful that they said that they forgive them.
Right.
Even in the midst of their pain and hurting,
yes.
Amen.
That he would forgive and pray God's blessing upon
yes.
them.
Yeah.
Dr. G?
And, you know, we forget that when we do that, God will bless us in ways that we can't even imagine. I mean, we don't carry that heavy burden on our hearts. When you can forgive someone who's done something to you, you can just let it go, and you put your faith and your trust in the Lord, you know, that's one burden you can cross off your list because you know that God has it.
Right.
And when you talk about those
yes.
folk, I mean, that was deep and it was heavy.
Yeah.
And what I loved about them, the whole world heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there were some people that were like, really? How could they really, really do that? And there's somebody that saw that and said, I want to have that kind of power.
Amen.
I want to be able to have that. And so somehow, even through that, God still got the glory.
Amen. And so that's going to be the question tonight. The question tonight is, can we forgive the way we want to be forgiven? We're going to go to the studio audit.
That's deep.
Can we forgive the way we want to be forgiven? Go to the studio audit. One more time. Can we forgive as we want to be forgiven?
I don't even know. That's a tough one. The only thing I can say is that it really depends on the perspective you're looking at, because it's easy for us to get in our feelings if we've wronged somebody and we genuinely are sorry and we have a hard time accepting the fact that they may not, at our time and pleasure, be able to forgive us at that moment. But it's funny that when we're wrong, we take the same attitude and the same approach as the person that we may want to seek forgiveness from. So I think it's all a mindset, because forgiveness doesn't have to be immediate. Some people may have to take time, go pray about it, go kind of get away from you, step back, reflect, figure out how you got there. Then there's some type or form of resolution. But I think the main thing you have to understand is that, as we've all been preaching, the reoccurring theme is that forgiveness is about you.
Yeah.
So what you want to try to do is be genuine when you forgive somebody and understand that that releases you from a bondage, from a mental prison that you've captured yourself. Because at the end of the day, that person is going about their life and they're fine. You're the one that every time you see them, you have an attitude, you feel some kind of way. You can kind of sense the tension. But the goal would be to do that, because obviously, taking it to a higher level, God forgives us every day. We go through this whole day and don't think about the things that we've made God mad about, or God forgives us for it, or continues to wake us up for it. So in a sense, God forgives us all the time, and I think because he has unconditional love for us. Now, the question I have is will we ever get to the point where we would have unconditional love to be able to forgive our brother, no matter if it's they've wronged us for something minor, or like the people who lost a loved one because somebody murdered them, to be able to forgive that? Me personally, I'm at that level. I can admit it. I'm going to be real. I'm not at that level. I don't know if I would have given that same response, because I'm not there. But the thing is, I recognize I'm not there, and I know that I'm a work in progress. But I think, as Pastor said, as you learn to forgive people, that continues to open doors for you. And remember, Christianity, it's a lot of different facets and variables to it. Forgiveness is just one of many. But as you continue to understand forgiveness and how it works, you learn that now you're starting to forgive people for things, or starting to let go of things that maybe early on in your Christian walk you were not necessarily able to do. So it's a work in progress. But for me personally, I'm not at that level yet. I'm going to continue to work on it.
Amen.
You know, I'm just, and then that's all I can do is just continue
that's
to pray
real.
About it.
That's
and
real.
Then just keep it real. I'm not at that level yet.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your comments. Amen. Next person in the studio audience.
Recently speaking something about this. There was a time in my life that my son was murdered. And I was so angry in the beginning. But then I could hear God speaking to me, you know. But I was not trying to hear him, even though I could hear him speaking to me. And then when we went through the trial, it was just something came over me. And I could hear God speaking just a little bit clearer. And everybody was saying to me, because I was calm, how are you like that? You know, and because I'm saying that, you know, okay, yeah, I can forgive. You know what I'm saying? And I realize that a lot of people think that forgiving somebody means that they're right. That doesn't make them right.
Right.
But it frees you up, you know, and if we keep on holding on to all of that, all it's going to do is make us bitter. And it becomes like an old sore. But you have picked that and picked that, and it just keeps festering and festering, you know, and that's what it does to you inside. So you have to let it go to heal.
Yeah.
You know, and know that it's, even though it's hard, it's not about you. You know,
amen.
It's what you, Christian, it's what you're doing for God. And then when you're able to do that, you're able to move on. And you can help somebody else who may be dealing with some of that anger. I mean, I don't know where I would be had not been for God in my life.
Amen.
I know I couldn't have never been able to forgive like that, but I had to do it, and I stepped through that trial, and I was able to help somebody else, you know, and tell them, you know, that it was okay, you know. And people thought I was crazy, but I wasn't crazy in the way they thought.
I like that.
Okay, and I knew that he was going to help me get through it, and that he was going to continue to calm my spirit. So forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about you.
Amen.
Your God.
Amen.
Amen. That was really powerful.
Thank you for your comment. Right. Amen. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines. Call the last four digits of your phone number and get you on the air. We're going to go to the last four digits, 7348. 7348, you are on the air.
Good evening, everybody. My comment tonight is merely that when it comes to forgiveness, I think it has to do with the perspective that we have about the situation. And one of the things that I've tried to apply in my life is just understanding that we're all a part of God's plan, and that being the case, there's going to be some people in our lives and some situations that are going to be hurtful to us. But if we look at the perspective of if it was not for some of the pain, some of the heartache, some of the struggles, then we might not lean closer to God, and we may not become the people who we are destined to be, because pain often pushes us closer to God, and situations sometimes force us to do things that we wouldn't normally.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to the last four digits, 1924. 1924, you are on there. Like to have a comment tonight? All right, they're just listening in. All right, we're going to go down to 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello.
Forgiveness, to me, is a growth process. And I often say, in order to really have that true forgiveness, and it can only come from God. He can only give you that strength to do it. You have to be honest. And it all depends on what people do to us. Some things we can easily, you know, just say, well, I forgive them, you know. But some things hurt us so deeply. It's like a wound, just a deep wound. And we have to be very truthful with God and let him know, this is hurting me. But in order for me to grow spiritually, I need you to heal me, to help me, show me how to do it. I need the Holy Spirit to work through me. But when we come to God and be truthful with him and don't pretend and say, this is hurting me, and let him know that I can't do this, but it's only through the power, through the power of your Holy Spirit that I can love this person. And then God will give us the strength. And through that process, we get a peace. We get an inner peace. That forgiveness brings us peace. We're not in that turmoil. We're not in that fear anymore. It brings about a certain amount of security. But it's a growth process. It's you know, you don't get there overnight.
Amen.
And you walk this Christian journey. It's maturity. God give it to you a little bit by a little bit, and eventually you will get there. He will strengthen you, but through that process, God will give you enough grace where the enemy will not come in and tempt you and overtake you. God will give you the grace to go through it.
Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. A lot of powerful comments. We're going to go to the last four digits, 8762. 8762, you are on the air.
Hi, good evening. Some of what I took from the message tonight was that we need to focus in on the necessity of humility and trusting mm-hmm. in God to help us to pray in the manner in which we should be praying. And that's a task because sometimes it's just words, it's just whatever, you know, comes to your head or your heart and like those immediate moments, but really digging deep down our deepest prayers and our most sincere heartfelt prayers, like sometimes that's really hard to do because of pride and a few other human flaws. But in terms of forgiveness, I think that it was important for you guys to say that it is a process mm-hmm. and that drawing closer to God will help us to get through that process. And that's just being patient with ourselves and working on His time and not ours. And then personally, I was just thinking about how I qualify people's deservingness of forgiveness. So like the lady said before me, you know, depending on what a person had done to me, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, there are different levels of forgiveness, but
amen.
I'm feeling that it's not really up to me to decide which acts qualify for me to forgive somebody.
That's right.
It's not my business.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
And, but that's really, really hard to do because when, you know, hurt is hurt, and when it's someone that, you know, you love or trusted and they hurt you so deep,
right.
depending on, you know, right. whatever it was, that's really hard. You scar me, like, really hard for me to put that away and then trust again and still act lovingly towards another person who deliberately or accidentally like hurt me or my family. So that's definitely something that I'm still working on. But coupling it with the humility to really dig down deep inside and to pray to God for, I guess, the strength, but also the skill set to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Yeah, a lot of good comments tonight. All right, we're going to go to the last four digits, 9772.
Good evening. I'm learning. I'm new on the line, so I'm just listening and learning. But my forgiveness mm-hmm. is something that I've asked for and to learn to God to teach me and hold me and learn me, for me to learn for myself to understand that what I had asked for forgiveness, He understand it and He helped me to get rid of it. And I'm coming through
amen.
And I'm learning from you. This is my first time on the line, so thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
God bless you.
First time caller. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to go to caller. Last four digits, 3494. 3494. You are on the air. 3494. All right. They must just be listening in. We thank everyone's comment tonight. There's some awesome comments.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
About this forgiveness thing. And what I love about it is it takes us to reflect. And we just can't look at everybody else and you need to forgive.
Right.
We need to look at ourselves and see that it's not a real easy thing.
No,
it's not.
Thing where, especially when you've been hurt and someone close to you did something to you or your family or someone you trusted, It's a process. And again, we look at the Emmanuel nine families that, you know, people are in the midst of church and Bible study.
Amen.
And someone comes in and just takes their lives, and, you know, we get mad if somebody step on our shoe. But to see someone gunned down like that, if you don't have God on your side, you're in trouble.
Right.
Amen.
And that's all of this forgiveness stuff, to understand that it's to help us,
right,
to heal. And that's what God wouldn't ask if it wasn't beneficial for us in the long run.
Amen.
God wouldn't ask us to do it. And you know, it's the thing of letting it go so we can get back to where God wants us to be.
Right.
Amen.
We can't change the fact of stuff that has happened, but we can change how it affects us,
right,
through prayer and through forgiveness.
Right.
You know,
and one of, there was an excellent point that was made, that sometimes our pride can keep us from forgiving, because we always think that by forgiving, we're saying that what that person did to us is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's not what it's doing. It's saying that God loved me through all my mess, so I'm going to have that same love in my heart. I don't have to be best friends with you.
That's right.
But I have to have the same love in my heart to forgive you for your mess. Basically, we can agree to disagree.
Amen.
Because I don't agree with what you did to me, and you may not agree that you did it to me.
Right.
But because I'm moving my pride out the way, because I'm trusting the Lord, because I have that relationship with him, and I know that he loves me even if you don't.
Amen.
I am going to forgive you, and I'm forgiving you because I can't keep holding things on to you and jeopardize the relationship that I have with Christ, because that's what God compels me to do. And then when you were talking about the Emmanuel 9, and you know how they were in Bible study and the person came in talking about the Lord, and then people got murdered, that is why we have to have a prayer life. Because otherwise, we're going to look at that and try to understand it.
Come on now.
And there's a
can't
lot of things that happen to us that you can't rationalize.
Nope.
Because otherwise, we're like, Lord, I thought you loved me. Why do you allow this to happen?
Amen.
And he does love us. But if you have that communication with him, you know that even in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the challenges, he still shelters you and he still protects you. And you don't need to lean to your own understanding. You know, I look again, I'd like to go back to my parents.
Yeah.
You know, when we found out that Dad had both pancreatic and bladder cancer, and Mom was going through her dementia issues all at the same time. If you would have just looked at that and said, but why is all this? These people have been dedicated to you, Lord, all your life.
But
when you look at it now, she is settled in a marvelous
way. Lord.
She's able to do word search. She's calmer now. His cancer is gone.
Come on, Jesus.
He is able to travel up to 81 years old to New York and back without an issue.
Preach.
But when you look at it now, God had a plan to say that he couldn't take care of her in that house.
No.
And he was going to hold on to that because he was that committed of a husband.
That's right. That's
but
right.
God's like, okay, you got to get sick.
Yep.
So I can put her where she needs to get the help that she needs.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be all right in a minute.
Yeah.
He tells us not to lean to our own understanding. And this whole Emmanuel 9, you never know. The Lord allowed that to happen because look at the changes that
come
are
on
going
now. Come
Hello.
On now.
So you can look back and you can say, okay, my loved ones were sacrificed, but God used this to do something for good.
My Lord.
And that's why we can forgive, even though we don't necessarily agree. And even though, yes, it hurts, but we forgive because God has a bigger and better plan. And if we have that prayer life with him, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay that you hurt me. It's okay that you came at me. Because at the end of the day, you are just a person.
Amen.
I got a God and a Holy Spirit that can bring me through any and everything. So all I have to do is forgive you. I'm not going to let you have that kind of power.
Reach. That's good stuff. Make me want to holler, throw up both my hands. Dr. G.
Well, you know, the only thing I would say, you know, I keep telling people, is that God does have a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. And if we want to get it 100%, we've got to learn and begin to do things in his way. Life, you can't rationalize it if you're going to be in Christ. You've got to take the spiritual all at its worth. And see, and one thing that I think people forget is that when Christ came down, he possessed the power to do whatever had to be done. He could have stopped them from taking his life. He said, no man takes my life. I give it freely. And even on the cross, you know, he's hanging, but he could have called legions of angels down to take care of these folks. But everything that he's done, and even with this model prayer, he put it there as an example. He put it there for us. We talk about going to heaven. We want to go to heaven. Well, we've got to start taking this Bible at face value and applying it in the way that he wants. You know, we talk about we want this, we want that. Well, go back, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added unto you. So if we keep that, you know, keep in our minds that God knows what he wants for our life, we've just got to turn our lives over. Just like that verse says, thy will be done. Not our will, but thy will be done. And if it means that we've got to go through some pain, we got to go through some suffering, you go through it and you be of good courage while you're going through it, trusting the fact that when God is ready to take you to the end, he will do
it.
But while you're waiting to go through, you've got to put a smile on your face, because people are watching us. And we have to set the proper example. You know, we forget that, you know, we talk about we're saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled. Some people forget that being saved means a change. We can't do it the way that we used to do it. You've got to let God in and work that change.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And all I would want to add is that God is greater than any situation or circumstance.
That's right.
Amen.
And when we understand that, and we go to the Lord in prayer, we go with confidence.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We come boldly to the throne of grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where God says that he's our intercessor. He's our great high priest because of what he went through on Calvary's cross. Now we have direct access through him to the Father, and we'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But we don't have to go through the bulls and the lambs and the whole tabernacle thing anymore. But we have a high priest who understands what we're going through, and we can go right through him. And that thing is powerful. So we'll touch base on that next week. But God knows all about our struggles.
Yeah.
He knows all about our pain and our hurt, because he went through just like we did in the flesh. So he's compassionate. And so when we go to him in prayer and say, I'm hurt, God, this is for real, he knows what we're going through, and he can speak a word, and we'll be able to make it through. And he's true to his word that said he would never put on us more than we can bear.
So, amen.
Excited about this.
Amen.
This prayer thing, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So we're going to close out with prayer. Just be prayerful, Steady, in this prayer, that we would line up with God's will. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for truly you have blessed us tonight in your word, God, that you have caused us to look inward and outward, God, about this thing that you left on record for us to do in prayer. Oh, God, how you prayed and how you left this model prayer for us to be able to survive spiritually God, that you left so many powerful examples of how we can communicate with you, that your word says greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And so, Father, we thank you for the spirit that resides within us. God, bless us as a church body, the called out, the ecclesia, oh God, that we will be truly the body of Christ that leans and depends on you, God, and that we will be an example to those that are around us. Oh God, we pray that we will continue to be a praying church, God, that we will continue to pray, oh God, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, we know that when your will is done, God, that you are pleased, and that you are satisfied with our lives. And so, God, we pray that that would be the case. And God, until we get back together again, God, we ask you to continue to bless everyone under the sound of our voice. Oh, God, bless their extended families, God. Oh, God, bless those that are continuing, God, to grow, that they will grow in grace and grow in faith. Until we get back together again, we pray, God, that everything that is said and done will be done in accordance with your will. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 God bless.
For tonight, have a good night, and we'll see you next Thursday night.
Amen. Amen.